org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
So we have my good friend T. It's so funny. But this is the owner of Le Playground.
Yes.
And of course we have Jillian, our co-host here. But tell us a little bit, because this is going to be very interesting, and I've got a lot to talk to you about. So tell us first about your business and how you got this started.
Okay, well, on the back end, I am a professional dancer and a choreographer. I've done everything from background dancing to teaching to, you know, holding conventions to creative directing. Mm-hmm. I've done everything there is to do, perform. I've done everything. So I lived in Atlanta for a few years, and... you know, I was on a burlesque, like, dance team type of thing back out there. And, you know, it was fun when I lasted. Just didn't really go anywhere. Mm-hmm. But when I did join that team, it, you know, because I grew up like a tomboy. Like, I was always in sweats and leggings.
There's another one.
Yeah, so, yeah. And, like, I was always, like, my mom always said, looked like I was always ready to dance battle somebody. And that's how I was. I was already always on go. So, I didn't tap into, you know, the grown woman, the sexy, until after I had my kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't have no eyebrows then or anything like that. Like, I didn't know how to do my makeup. Like, it was just, you know, I've definitely transitioned. And so how I came across, you know, starting something as far as a burlesque company, as I wanted to think about doing something that's next level, mm-hmm. You know, something that's lucrative, that is still, you know, being a part of, you know, something I love to do that I'm great at doing, but something more on the back end, because my kids are getting older, mm-hmm. You know, and I'm in that stage now where, like, my kids are old enough to play sports, so I'm the sports mom now, so, you know, I'm definitely, you know, trying to... Because I'm not a 9-to-5 person. Period.
Fair.
I'm not
fair.
Supposed to be behind anyone's desk.
Yeah.
And, you know, creating Le Playground, with, you know, it's my baby.
Can you first tell us, before you get into that, for the ones that don't know, like, when you say burlesque, like, what does that mean?
Well, burlesque is more of a, for lack of better words, it's a style of dance. It's in, like, lingerie-ish type of stuff, you mm-hmm. know, it's a tie between dancing and Broadway. You sing or lip sing,
oh,
and
really?
You know,
okay.
there's skits, and it's like a real show.
We talked about
like
that.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's just okay. like
yeah,
Chicago,
yes.
or the movie Burlesque. If you mm-hmm. guys seen the movie Burlesque, it's mm-hmm. just like that. It's not like the old school 50s where they're walking around topless and doing, you know, more raunchy stuff back then. It's more modernized. Mm-hmm. It's fused with the old school, a little bit with the new, which is something I always wanted to do. I love that style of dancing. Mm-hmm. And to be able to create, you know, Le Playground is everything that I can possibly, you know, dream of. Like, it's now, a nice fusion.
How long is a typical show?
A typical show is about an hour. It could be anywhere from an hour to like an hour 15. It's an actual show. Like,
so do you interact with the guests, or how does that
yeah,
work?
Yeah, crowd participation is really big.
Okay.
You know, it's fun. It's fun being someone else and lip singing and, you know, without being too much. Mm-hmm. Like, it's more classier. But it's going to be entertaining nonetheless. So you're going to be able to enjoy a nice meal. And Le Playground, we have our own menu of special drinks, mixed
nice.
Drinks,
okay.
and, you know. Yeah, so it's going to be great. Nice food, enjoy a nice show, and you will want more after that. So that's why I'm glad I got it started. And my grand opening is Valentine's Day.
Oh, really?
Sweet.
So is
yeah.
it geared towards couples and things like this?
I mean, I have this show particularly is themed. you know, for Valentine's Day, it's okay. going to be so extra. It's going to be red carpet. Yes, yeah. Extra is good. But it's going to be a two-night opening. I'm going to do Valentine's Day and then Saturday for those who can't make it on, you know, Thursday. Mm-hmm. But either both nights is going to be epic. And then from there, it's going to get rolling. Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays.
Are they usually on Saturday or, like, through the week usually? Or is it only because of Valentine's Day?
I did it specifically for Valentine's Day. Okay. I just thought it was befitting. Mm-hmm. So the choreography, the skits, everything is, you know, focused around that.
And how many dancers?
I have a solid 7.
Okay. So is that something that you look for all the time? Do you audition for it? Or
yeah, I audition. I preferably try to get dancers who learn really quickly, who can adapt and check into their sexy. You know, everyone collabs on the choreography. So it, you know, I have a nice mixture, a variety of girls. It's really at first. We have a little bit of everybody. I have a Latina, I have a Filipino. You know, we have a nice variety of girls. So it's definitely going to be a good look.
Very nice. So if someone was interested after watching you tonight on the radio show, mm-hmm. What are the practices like? I mean, is it often?
Well, right now, because the show's coming up quickly, we're doing 2 days out of the week and then a weekend in the evenings for a few hours. But because the girls do learn fast, it's coming along. So, but it's definitely necessary because this is our first production. Right.
Mm-hmm. And did you scout for these? Or, like, how did you?
I did. I had my brother, Zabriel Kennedy. He is a graphic designer and a videographer. Mm-hmm. He did our promo video that you've seen.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And I will say, looking on your Instagram, I saw that
Chris Brown liked it.
And I was like, wait, what? Wow.
Yeah, that's how you know I made it.
Right.
Yeah. No, but Chris Brown, hi. Yeah. I know you saw me. Right. But yeah, I really lost it when I was just a sign.
Yeah.
That was a sign, because to me that was like Jesus in the flesh liked my post.
Nice.
But that just made me work harder. My girls freaked out too, and they was just like, okay, well, yeah, tighten up.
Yeah.
You know, because we don't never know who's going to come through.
You never know who's watching.
So, yeah, we never know who's watching.
And social media is just,
you know, there's a lot of people who see your content, and they don't like it, but they
saw
it. Yeah, they saw it, and that's fine. Everyone, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but, you know, even the dress code is black tie. Come looking your best. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not doing no sneaker. You know what I mean? Come like you're going on a nice date. You know, suit and tie.
So where is it?
It's off of 3602 South Central Avenue.
Okay.
The place is called Bizzle's. But that's where we're going to be at.
Okay.
Where my actual location, like, that's getting, you know, built from the ground up. That will be ready by summertime.
Okay.
But for now, we're going to be there.
And are you actually, you're performing with the girls, or do you just do the choreography?
This first show, I've got to do too much on the back end to get it running. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'll have my partners pick up from, you know, so I can actually, I do plan on performing, but my parents are going to be there.
Oh.
So I'm not, so I'm just be sitting cute somewhere and act like, a boss. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but.
You know, I was just going to say, you know, what would you say was the most challenging part? Because I know you have an LLC and you have a lot of back end stuff. And we know as entrepreneurs, it's hard. You know, to get things going.
For sure.
So for you, what was the hardest part? I mean. You know, we know you're resilient. We know that you're driven. You know, you came from tomboy to, glam and all of this. And it's like, I know you can do it. So it's like, okay, what is it that, you know, you just wish you had more of? You know, what do you need to make this perfect?
Support, like we all do.
Right. No, seriously. It's the support.
Yeah.
Okay. However, I wish that as far as getting, you know, the funds to go ahead and I wish that I was in a better position to do it wholeheartedly from me.
And that's always because you're always going to want more, but not that it's not great.
Right.
But
you're
going to want more.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. A lot happened I was able to get a lot done in 2 months. I had to
tell you, we met her. The first time we met her was at our fundraiser, the Stiletto Fitness.
Yeah,
she came in.
She dances or something. Because I'm like, Lord, I couldn't keep up, and I'm like, how is she doing this?
Were you at the Stiletto Fitness?
Yeah, that was her. But I remember talking to you about it, you know, and we talked about it, and you are doing it. You actually, you said you were going to do it, and you did it. And so, like, much respect.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I admire that. I love women like that. Mm-hmm. So I just think
it's time. Everything literally fell in my lap. I took advantage of each opportunity. This year I promised myself I have more financial freedom, and then be able to spend time with my kids. And, you know, I just couldn't do it. I can't sit behind someone's desk. That's not my own. So
if we wanted to find you, Instagram, social media, how do we find you?
You can find my personal page at @T_theslayher, SLAYHER. And you can find our company page at Le Playground 19, and that's for Facebook too, Le Playground 19. You know, come check us out. Our tickets are the link to the tickets are in the bio. Come out. We'd love to see you. I'm actually going to do a contest. Have some ladies upload some videos of their best, little choreography, and I'll give away 2 tickets. Admission for 2, and all the tickets, they do include meals.
Nice.
It will be dessert. It will be a nice bar with some awesome mixed drinks, so you guys will not be disappointed.
No, we'll definitely support. And before you leave, I just have to say, for the ones that don't dance and don't know how to do it, you should do an amateur class.
I want to learn how to do it.
You know,
for sure.
That's so it's a That'll great awesome. Idea. You know,
yeah,
I want to be sexy for Valentine's Day too.
Yes, girl.
Anyway,
yes, girl.
All righty. So when we come back, thank you for joining
us.
That's awesome.
Thank
we would definitely have everything up and definitely support that. You know, much success to you.
Thank you.
When we come back, we will meet with DJ Jam. It's going to be wonderful, and so we got some things to get into with him. So we'll be right back.
I spend a lot of time in the backyard, and I'm the center of attention at summer barbecues. In 96, I made some of the tastiest s'mores. And in 09, it was me, your backyard fire pit, that accidentally started a wildfire when a summer breeze carried one of my embers into some dry brush.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Hope you enjoyed your meal. And I just want to say, he's lucky to have a brother like you.
Lucky? Caring for my brother is far from easy. But he's a part of me, like my arms and legs, so I'll be his. No time for tired. Nothing can disable this love. He needs me, but I'm the lucky one, even though I need help now and then.
If you're caring for a loved one, visit aarp.org/caregiving for care guides and community. Support for your strength. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
What if I told you that a tornado was going to happen tomorrow, right where you live? That it would touch down at exactly 3:17 p.m. and I told you the exact path it would take. You would, of course, prepare. You would talk with your loved ones and you'd make a plan today. It's true, I can't tell you a tornado will strike tomorrow, but shouldn't you have a plan anyway? Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is Mario Andretti. You know me as a race car driver, but I'm also a Meals on Wheels volunteer. I've raced against the sport's biggest personalities, but I've never met more vibrant, amazing people than the seniors served by Meals on Wheels. You can make a difference by dropping off a hot meal and saying a quick hello. So, America, let's do lunch. Volunteer your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org.
Hello, Kubo. What have you got planned for today?
Come on, this way.
Adventure can be found anywhere, but the best place to start is in the forest.
It's the most powerful magic there is.
Head outside to discover incredible animals.
Wow.
And beautiful plants that come together to create an unforgettable adventure. So grab your loved ones and explore a world of possibilities. Visit discovertheforest.org to find the closest forest or park to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
My teacher said that we should have a plan in case of an emergency. Do we have one?
First thing I'm going to do is grab a flashlight with dead batteries.
I'm going to start randomly throwing clothes in a bag. You two will be hiding in the closet and Dad won't be able to find you.
And that's when we both start crying.
Uncontrollably. Can you pass the cutlets?
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Search ReadyKids at NYC.gov or call 311. Brought to you by the New York City Office of Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
Central City Radio's Hit Music Channel.
Turn your radio up.
Hits 100.
Hits 100. 100.
Again, I'm Tracy Thomas from Industry Reality Radio on Central City Radio, and we have an amazing guest, DJ Jam, West Coast official DJ. So one of my celebrity friends, I can say. I'm excited to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, and before we get into, so you have to understand, so DJ Jam is the official DJ for Snoop, Dre. You have to follow him on Instagram if you're not following him or social media. And one thing about, I've been knowing you for many, many years.
Yeah,
I was a young buck.
Way back,
Yeah, and I think I first met you because you were on a Chronic tour,
yep.
with Dr. Dre.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, yep. yeah, I got to get, yeah.
So, yeah, like the first Chronic tour.
Yes, and so we've been friends since then, and it's just been, you know, really good, and I just watched everything you do.
Yep.
So
stayed in touch all these years to see you migrate out to where you are now. So, yeah,
I know it.
It's really good.
So, and I know you've got your nonprofit, but I want to talk about your music first.
Okay.
So, I mean, just because I know that that's what people know, and you guys are, if you're fans of Snoop and Dre, you've probably seen them, you know, on stage and, you know, and doing your thing. And you also do your own radio show.
Right.
So, and the thing is, if we talked about this a little bit before the show and had to think, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that he discovered Bow Wow. Am I right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. Well, it was the first Chronic tour. I think the first tour when I met you, we were actually in Columbus. And that was the first night of the tour, actually. So we were there for a couple of days and did sound checks and things like that. Mm-hmm. So actually, the first day of the first show, I was setting up my equipment. And it was early at the arena. And they were like, the workers were setting up the chairs mm-hmm. on the floor and all that, right?
Yeah.
And I was making sure everything was cool. And everybody was in the dressing room waiting for everything to be hooked up so we can do sound check. And Bow Wow's father, I guess, knew somebody in the arena mm-hmm. and got them in when they were setting up, right? So I'm setting up the turntables, and I'm, like, playing some music or whatever, and his father brings him to the side of the stage, mm-hmm. and I notice he's, like, flags me down, and I go to the side of the stage. He's like, this tall,
yeah.
you know what I mean? And he's like, my son can rap. And I'm like, really? And I pulled him up on the stage, and I put on the record, and he started flowing. And, I mean, he was so good, I had to stop the record and was like, wait a minute, do that again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he started flowing and going on and on. And I stopped him again. I said, come back with me. And we took him backstage.
Oh, he owes you.
And they were all back there with the tape recorder booming. Dre's listening to, like, Parliament and Funkadelic or whatever.
Oh, my God.
And I bring him in there, and he cut off the music, and I introduced him. And the first thing he did was he started dancing for everybody.
Bow Wow.
It wasn't even about him rapping or whatever.
Yeah.
Jay put back on the music, and he started doing his routine and everything. And then after that, he's like, I can rap too. And then he just went like a cappella. And I have all this on camera because I was the only one with the camcorder at the time, and I used to record everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I have this actual footage of me taking him back in the dressing room and introducing him to Dre. And I haven't released this footage yet, but you'll see it soon.
Wow.
Yeah, I just been keeping it all. I got tons of footage I haven't even let out yet. So
do you guys keep in touch, or does he, what, he owes you?
Well, I talk to Jermaine Dupri more than anybody because he's like, you know, real close to me, him and his, one of his associates that I came up in the game with is his assistant now, mm-hmm. one of his. So we all kind of stay in touch. When he's in town, we link up or whatever.
Okay.
I haven't really talked to Bow Wow in like years or whatever. I just heard he was here and I just missed him. But
he was here in Arizona?
Yeah, he was in Arizona hosting a club out here. I found out
and
last
minute.
No
one
told you? Yeah, I found out last minute. But yeah, we'll talk again. But yeah, that's basically what happened. And basically, Dre told him to pack his bags and come back and meet us for the show before the show started that night, mm-hmm. right? And so we took him on the rest of our tour with us. Whoa. He went in a pack with his father, and they came back and they rode the tour bus with us. And at the in the middle of every show, every night, we would bring Bow Wow out and have him rap. In every city we went to, he uh-huh. would rap, and everybody, the whole crowd went crazy. So we were like, oh, we got something here, right?
That's
so,
what I'm saying.
So when we got back home after the tour, Dre brought him back to L.A. to live in L.A. while we recorded Snoop's first album, Doggy Style. And if you remember on Doggy Style, that was his first speaking part because he was just in the studio as a little kid just looking and watching.
Yeah.
And we're like, hey, do the little kid part. And he's like, teacher was like, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I remember
you right,
that.
Right?
Yeah.
That was Little Bow Wow. That was his first speaking part. And then after that, that's when Dre split up with Death Row and all the stuff went
yeah.
down. So Bow Wow was just sitting there like in L.A. with nothing to do. Right? So one of the cities we were on that tour was Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
When we did Atlanta, Jermaine Dupri came to that show because he's in Atlanta, right? Just to hang out. And he saw Bow Wow that night. And Jermaine Dupri was good with kids because he had Crisscross and Escape and all that.
Uh-huh.
So Dre called Jermaine and was like, hey, we got Bow Wow. We can't do anything with him. You know what I mean? Because I'm going through this. You want him. And boom. Rest was history.
So all the shows, the realities, the growing up hip hop.
I'll reach out to him. I might need him on a song or two.
I'm telling you, you know, yeah. And now you think about this little cute little kid because he was so adorable. Now I just.
Industry got him, huh?
Yeah,
he's a bad boy now, huh?
You know, on social media, you see, it's like,
yeah, I think we were a bad influence. No,
nah,
that wasn't us.
So, you talked about Death Row a little bit. Were you around when all that went on, or like, what was your role in that when that split?
Yeah, I was there from when before even Death Row got started. When I was bodying in when Dre was just about to start his first Chronic album, and he asked me to be his DJ, and so basically I was there from the beginning to when everything broke up. And
did you ever have any dealings with Suge Knight?
Yeah, I mean, I had to. I was there with everybody, you know what I mean? So, you know, we were on tour together with him, you know, at the record label, everywhere. Like, a lot of times it would just be me, Suge, Snoop, and Dre just rolling out to different spots, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
And you and Snoop have a really good relationship over the years, and you guys have been able to remain.
Yeah, because it's like brothers to me. Like, I was there. You know, I remember one night we were sitting before the Snoop Dogg blew up and everything. We were over another executive's house, basically. Suge and Dre were inside talking, and we went out to this executive's backyard, basically. And we were, like, just sitting under the stars, just us two. And he just looked at me, and he was like, man, Jam, do you think I can make it?
No way.
You know what I mean? And I'll never forget that. Yeah, and you know, so I've been with him since that, and just seen him grow as not just an artist, but as a man, as a father. I saw his whole progression. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Things, a lot of learning experience he went through. You know what I mean? So you got to take the good with the bad, but that makes him a person of who he is today. So.
So he's coming here, I think.
Yeah, soon, I believe. I heard.
Yeah, I
too,
thought it was is he part of the music festival or something?
I'm not sure what tour it's on.
It
might be his Puff Puff Pass.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We were you.
Right.
Just saying.
I got you.
Okay. No, that's so interesting. So, what do you think any other talent that you are responsible for, or like, have
well,
been?
Well, I've DJed. A lot of people don't know this either. They just think of Snoop and Dre, but I've DJed for Warren G.
Which I love.
I've DJed for Snoop, Nate Dogg, and Warren G's group, the 213 Crew.
Yeah.
I've DJed for his female group, Doggy's Angels. I've DJed for his group, the Eastsiders.
Mm-hmm.
I've also DJed for the new NWA when Dre brought them back together. So I had 10 jobs, man.
Yeah, yeah.
10 DJ jobs.
So in regards to like the movie, do you think it was pretty accurate, like with the NWA movie?
Yeah, they did a pretty good job. Okay. I remember just the movie took me back. You know what I mean? To certain places where I remember what was going on.
You were in Car Wash, wasn't you?
Yeah.
I remember that. I just like to think about that.
Yeah. Shout out to 92.3 The Beat, the original from back from 92 to what? Right, 2000 or something, the mm-hmm. original 92.3 The Beat crew.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. I'm like, okay, because I remember, I'm like, there's this jam. Yeah, okay, yeah. That's awesome. So, and then outside of the music, so what are you working on now? Any projects you're working on now?
Really, I've been really attacking radio lately for like the past, I'll say, couple years. Mm-hmm. I have a show called The Hot Spot. That's on my home station, Jammin' 95.7 in San Diego.
How do we, can we listen to that?
Yeah,
anywhere?
You can listen to it through the iHeartRadio app.
Okay.
You can get any iHeart station, but just punch in 95.7, mm-hmm. jam in 95.7, and that'll be the station. You can also catch them through the website also, but I'm on there Friday nights, as well as the sister station in Sydney, the capital of Australia, Sydney, Australia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm on, out there like four nights a week. And then the Gold Coast of Australia, I'm on Wednesday night. So hopefully I'll be on air and in Phoenix soon too.
Well,
I'm in talks right now.
I'm pretty sure you will be. They know if they have this talent here, they better jump on it.
Right. Yeah.
So tell us how to find you. I know, but
yeah. Find me Instagram at DJ Jam DPG. I'm on Facebook too. Look up DJ Jam or DJ Jam DPG. I should pop up. Mm-hmm. And then the website www.djjam.com.
Okay, so we're going to take a quick break, but I want to get back with you just a little bit because I want to touch on your foundation.
Yeah.
You know, that is, I know is very important to you. I know over the years you've had this love for animals and, you know, and giving back. So we want to talk about that. So when we come back, we're going to touch on that. So join us. This is good. Thank you. It's very interesting. So we'll be right back.
So many girls, I hear you've been running from the beautiful queen that you can be becoming. You can look in my palm and see the storm coming. Read the book of my life and see I'm overcoming. Just because the length of
hello, Kubo.
What have you got planned for today?
Come on, this way.
Adventure can be found anywhere, but the best place to start is in the forest.
It's the most powerful magic there is.
Head outside to discover incredible animals.
Wow.
And beautiful plants that come together to create an unforgettable adventure. So grab your loved ones and explore a world of possibilities. Visit discovertheforest.org to find the closest forest or park to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
My teacher said that we should have a plan in case of an emergency. Do we have one?
First thing I'm going to do is grab a flashlight with dead batteries.
I'm going to start randomly throwing clothes in a bag. You two will be hiding in the closet and Dad won't be able to find you.
And that's when we both start crying.
Uncontrollably. Can you pass the cutlets?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Search Ready Kids at NYC.gov or call 311. Brought to you by the New York City Office of Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your soul to the devil.
$15 is the best I can do.
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Calvin's Barbershop.
You all got to see this.
I don't even want to know what you're looking at on that phone.
Well, you should. I was learning about the dangers of high blood pressure and that we need to get ours checked regularly. High blood pressure can increase the risk of heart attack or stroke, but this text program can help keep it at a healthy range. Just text Barbershop to 97779 to sign up.
I'll get right on it
as soon as I'm done with this baby panda video.
Text Barbershop to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
WWE superstar Alberto Del Rio. Take one.
Behold the angry giant.
Try it again, Alberto.
Behold the angry giant.
Perfect. Good luck tonight.
Behold the angry giant.
Yay! Read me another one, Dad.
This is WWE superstar Alberto Del Rio. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Start talking on break a little bit and just want to share with everyone what we were talking about. And so you were working with Biggie Smalls at one point.
Yeah. Back in the day, I actually did the first actual mixtape for an artist. It was all about Biggie. And back then, basically only people on the East Coast knew who he was coming up in the hood, and he had did a song with Mary J. Blige. So they did his album, and Puffy was trying to think, how can I break him on the West Coast, basically, right? And he would go back and forth, Puffy would, and I was on the radio in L.A., and I had my mixtapes out. And I put artists on my mixtape, and they do parts talking about my mixtape, you know what I mean, before I go on the other songs, and he heard it. And had one of the radio, one of the record label reps actually in L.A. heard about me, and he told Puffy. And he said, well, and he DJs for Dre and Snoop. And he was like, oh, that's it. We'll have him do a mixtape for Biggie. So they flew Biggie out to L.A. for a week. We were in the studio just trying to come up with how we were going to do this. So I kind of came up with a theme of Biggie rhyming over West Coast beats, right?
At the time,
nobody had done anything like that before, right?
Yeah.
And it, right. So I was like, dang, I wonder if he's going to like it. West Coast beats, though. You know what I mean? Coming from the East Coast. So we were all cool. He came to he would come to the studio with a whole big box of blunts. him and Little C's. They were together, him and Little C's. So we just sat there smoking. And then I asked him, I was like, man, what do you think about West Coast beats? And he's like, oh, man, some of my favorite beats are West Coast beats. I was like, oh, you want to, like, write to some of the best. I'll pull out some of the best beats. And you, he's like, let's do it. So he wrote a song called Real Niggas Do Real Things. And we did it in the studio and made that part of the actual project. So, like, I would go in and he would do one verse off of the song. We didn't put the whole song together. We did one verse. And then I went into a couple of his songs that were going to be on the album.
Right.
And then we went back to the second verse. And then we went back to a couple more songs on his album. Then I came back with his third verse, so it was broken up, but it was one song.
Right.
You know? So we put that out of the mixtape and blew up. It's probably
Puffy, cut the check.
One of the most bootlegged projects that was pressed on vinyl that
I've
seen.
Because
we used to travel around the world. I'd be on tour in anywhere, Germany, wherever, and we would go to the record shops out there, and they would have a few copies of that project of mine. So I would take the copy, you know what I mean, every place we went. So I probably have a stack of them about like that.
Wow.
Just all bootleg. Because that was the only, you know, it wasn't made for a record. It was a
Do you understand the worth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do, right?
I still got the original, so, too. Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, they split it up, and they made three songs off of it. One is the song Notorious with Lil' Kim.
Yeah.
That was one of the verses from what we did. Yeah, and there was two other songs, too, on the one of the albums. So,
wow.
Yeah, so they made three songs off of that one song that I did.
So you've done a whole lot. Let me ask you this. What's your take on the music, on the hip-hop industry today?
It's definitely changed in the way it's promoted and the avenues that people can access it.
Yeah.
Before, it was only a couple avenues. You had to be forced with the five songs that you had to hear, because there was only like a few groups out that had records. Now, everybody and their mother is able to make a song and put it out that night on social networks and blow up tomorrow.
I know, so
it's a gift and a curse at the same time, because a lot of those people blow up just because they got lucky and did something and came with something catchy. You know
exactly
what I mean? But they don't last, because that's not really what they do.
Okay, thoughts on Amigos?
I like the Migos.
Okay.
I like the Migos.
Travis
Scott? I like Travis Scott, too. I think he's dope.
Soulja Boy?
Soulja Boy hasn't done anything lately that I like, but when he did what he did, he made an impact.
He did.
You know what I mean? Like,
no doubt.
I don't hate, just because I don't, might not be my favorite type of music or whatever, but I see people's hustle. I see people's hustle. And the one thing I got to realize, because I come back from the OG days, you know what I mean? But one thing I realize is, back then, when rappers first were coming out, people were talking about that was just a fad and it wasn't going to last, right? But today, so there was only like one type of rap when it first came out, and everybody was trying to be like that.
Yeah, true.
And now then there was that kind, and now that there was that kind, and now today there's all these different branches of a tree.
Yeah.
So anybody can choose what they like, and that's up to the person.
True.
So do what they do, have fun with it. If they make money off of it, cool. If they don't, they just have fun.
Okay, so we talked about, like, you know, your music, and, you know, you kind of on the, you talking NWA, you talking, you know, Biggie, Snoop. So now there's this other side of you.
Yeah.
that is this foundation. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah. Basically, all my life has been about music and animals. So I put together a nonprofit called the Community Hands Network, and it features a couple programs on the media side. I have a DJ / production, music production mentor academy. Nice. Where I teach the kids about that. And then on the other side, it's an animal / environmental outreach program where I teach kids about animals and the environment and how they correlate. So.
But and you've got some exotic animals that we're not just talking about animals.
Yeah, I raise monkeys. I've had three monkeys. I've had three miniature potbelly pigs. I have fish, turtles, big, huge tortoises.
Yes, I saw it.
Water, aqua turtles, eels, fish, all that kind of stuff. And I do habitats. That's my thing, is I make habitats for animals. So if you go to somebody's house and they have animals, it's not like an animal in a cage. Like, I'll make it out of furniture so it blends in with the decor or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of that's what I want to teach the kids.
So, and then is that is what you are, you're here in Arizona. I know you're everywhere else, but like that's what you're looking forward to, put the foundation here?
Yes, I want to start one here just like I did in San Diego.
That is going to be amazing.
Yeah,
so. So is that something that we see on your social media as well, or is that something separate?
Yeah, when I do like career days at schools, where I'll go into the schools and I'll bring a music producer, I represent the DJ, and I'll bring an air personality from the radio station, and we'll bring our equipment. And then we talk to the kids about what we do, how we got started. Mm-hmm. Then we let them ask questions. And then we split them up into groups, and we let them get hands-on with the equipment.
Nice.
And then we'll do a lunchtime jam where I'm DJing at lunch for the kids or whatever. And then also doing field trips where I'll take the kids to, like, the radio station, the internet radio station, a commercial radio station, a recording studio, a music audio equipment store, so they can see the retail side of it. To show them the difference. It's not just about being a DJ. There's so many different things you can do.
Yeah.
You know, you can start off being a DJ, but you can move into other things. So
I think that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
And so tell us the name of your nonprofit again.
The Community Hands Network, and chnetwork.us is the website. You can check that out and find out everything.
Okay, so anything else you want to talk to share with us about that, or because we can definitely go back to the music, you know? But
yeah,
I just think it was really neat, and just listening to that, because you wouldn't think, you know, when I first heard about it, I'm like, how are you into animals, you know? But you know, and you really care.
So you really saw me with my animals.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know,
and
go into that. You know,
as a kid, I'm the kid that used to bring home everything. You know, find lizards, everything, and I used to bring it back home as my pet, you know, so it just kind of evolved. Yeah, like I got a monkey on one of our tours with Snoop, and they brought a monkey out in a cage backstage, and he rode the tour bus for the rest of the tour till I got him back home. That's how I got my first monkey.
So what about, let's
Snoop, all Snoop named him Endo because he was in the tour bus, you know, so.
Yeah, he did. So, I mean, like, so what about snakes and things like that?
That's one thing I'm really not into, except for the, like, ball pythons. I'm cool with those. But, yeah, because those are, like, the most common snake you can get at, like, the pet shop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the other ones, nah, I don't really get down. Snakes or spiders. I don't really do spiders either. Tarantulas, and then, you know, how people hold those.
No, spiders, no. Nah, I don't want to see lizards, none of that. And you're in Arizona, so you're going to have your hands
full. I'll see. Yeah, I'll see. I don't want to see no scorpions, so that's what I don't want to see.
I haven't seen one yet since I've lived
here. I've seen one small one, like this big, since I've been here.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm like, all right.
Make a habitat.
I see a couple more of those. I might be back in San Diego.
I did have one question about your nonprofit. So for the children, the workshop, what do the ages go to? I mean, are they you starting real young or?
Well, the program is gonna start in a high school and as well as a YMCA, they can get in as early as like 10 to 12, that area, as long as they're able to comprehend and know the condition of equipment and not messing it up. We want them to learn as at the earliest possible age.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think that's awesome. And so what about if someone wanted to support, do that from your website?
Yep, they can go to that website I gave out, and it has a GoFundMe account on there.
And we'll have the link on our things as well, so people can find and, you know, see how to help. So
all right.
I think sounds that's good. Awesome. And I'm looking forward. So when Snoop comes, you know, just let us know. Yeah.
We'll take footage of all of it and upload it to the show.
I swear. No, thank you so much for joining us. I was just happy to have you here, you know, in the state. You
right,
know,
right.
Yep, and people don't really know it, so you're in and out and all over, but, you know, thank you for joining us. It really means a lot.
Well, thank you once again.
Yeah. All right.
We did a lot tonight.
We did. I did, so I'm going to go talk about it. So, no, thank you for joining us, and we will see you guys next time. Thank you to DJ Jam. Please follow him on social media, and please download the app Central City Radio, or you can find us at centralcityradio.com.
Hello, Kubo.
What have you got planned for today?
Come on, this way.
Adventure can be found anywhere, but the best place to start is in the forest.
It's the most powerful magic there is.
Head outside to discover incredible animals.
Wow.
And beautiful plants that come together to create an unforgettable adventure. So grab your loved ones and explore a world of possibilities. Visit discovertheforest.org to find the closest forest or park to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
My teacher said that we should have a plan in case of an emergency. Do we have one?
First thing I'm going to do is grab a flashlight with dead batteries.
I'm going to start randomly throwing clothes in a bag. You two will be hiding in the closet and Dad won't be able to find you.
And that's when we both start crying.
Uncontrollably. Can you pass the cutlets?
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Search ReadyKids at NYC.gov or call 311. Brought to you by the New York City Office of Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
This is Mario Andretti. You know me as a race car driver, but I'm also a Meals on Wheels volunteer. I've raced against the sport's biggest personalities, but I've never met more vibrant, amazing people than the seniors served by Meals on Wheels. You can make a difference by dropping off a hot meal and saying a quick hello. So, America, let's do lunch. Volunteer your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org.
This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
People been saying to your friend, get a different face, and posting on their feed, they're super ugly. The things they say to them online are cruel and they're not true. So tell your friend, I'll stand up for you. Don't worry, I know what to do.
Know someone being bullied online? You can be a witness and make a difference by letting the world know it isn't cool and by letting your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
www.centralcityradio.com.
I listen at work. My whole office loves you.
Yo, man, don't stop the music.
I don't get tired of it.
You better listen to this station.
Non-stop music.
centralcityradio.com.
Today's hit music.
Best music.
The best music.
centralcityradio.com.
Okay, so we're back. What an amazing show. And some great information that I never knew. So that we could talk to him for yeah. So and just learning about the industry is pretty amazing.
You know what I like about it is that, you know, people forget that music is history. I mean,
definitely.
There's so many different generations who just come into it, you know,
have no idea about the backside
you know,
of it.
And you know, I'm an 80s baby, so, you know, I could see the transition and mm-hmm. different things, but for some people, you know, they don't know how much history is in music. I mean, I could play something from the 70s or the 80s or the 90s mm-hmm. and remember a time in my life, you know, what I was doing, what I looked like. Yeah. You know, just the youth.
Yeah.
You know,
and no, it's just for sure.
Like, wow. So to know that he, you know, is a part of that is amazing.
I know. We have to bring him back so we can talk some more about that. You know, that was really, you know, in depth. But one thing I wanted to talk about before we leave, because we got a couple emails from some clients who were asking how to shop with a budget. And I'm like, this is just right up your alley because you're always talking about it. Mm-hmm. And I say that, and I think you're really expert at it. Because first of all, people think that you have to have all this money to be, you know, to hire a stylist, and you just don't. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, oh, you know, Tracy, I don't want to call because, you know, I can't, but anyone can have a stylist, right? And so one of the things that, you know, we get these questions of, you know, how do I do this, or I need to go here, and, you know, I don't really have the money for it, but I have to go. Mm-hmm. So, we were talking about your look for Phoenix Fashion Week, and I saw you there, and I'm like, man, she always looks so good. You know, you look beautiful. So talk to us a little bit about the process and how you got ready for that and, you know, budget that you had in mind.
Sure. Absolutely. To be honest, I didn't really have a budget in mind. You know, sometimes you say, what's the budget? And some people might say, oh, well, I'm not going to spend more than 50 or 80 or whatever the budget may be. For me, it was just like, okay, I just need something to wear, you know. And at this point, the budget doesn't even come to a thought until I've looked through my closet and I have something already. Mm-hmm. So most of the time I would like to spend $0, and that's exactly what I did for that Phoenix Fashion Week look. I spent $0 on that outfit.
I think we have a picture of that too. Yeah, I hope we can show it. Yeah.
Because, you know, usually what happens is an event pops up, you know, usually I don't know about it until like a week in advance or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I'll just run to the store and grab something cheap. But, you know, that day I absolutely had no time whatsoever. So I was like, okay, what do I have? And it just so happened that I had the yellow dress, and I ended up buying that maybe 2 months prior to the event. And I didn't know that I was going to actually wear it to the Phoenix Fashion Week event. It just so happened that that was the only thing that I had available and ready at that moment. Mm-hmm. I threw the denim jacket over that because actually I wore that dress once before for a photo shoot. And, you know, I didn't want to just wear the dress like that because I literally just wore it. So I threw the
denim. Did change it up. Yeah.
I threw the denim jacket on. Mm-hmm. And it gave it a different look, a different texture, a whole different vibe. And then the necklace, I actually, that actually came from Walmart. And I'm not even going to be shy about it. Yeah. It came with an earring set and, you know, the necklace. And I loved it because of the way that it looked. It had a very indigenous look to it. It had mm-hmm. the red and the blue and the gold. And just something about it just drew me in. And so I thought, okay, I definitely need a statement piece. So I put that on over the, you know, my dress and everything like that. The shoes I already had. I had them like for a year and a half already. And if you, I don't know if you can tell from the picture, but they were those block heels. Mm-hmm. And I never really get those, but I just was like, well, I'm just going to go different. And, you know, I didn't know how much standing we were going to be doing. So I thought maybe my feet would feel better. I don't know. But actually, and then the hair, you know, I changed my hair up all the time. So I already had that on deck. It was just, I just started putting everything together and literally like, I forgot what time this stuff started, but, you know, I was able to make it on time, but I didn't have a lot of time to get ready. And so it just really helped that I already had it there.
Yeah.
So I guess some key points would be to, when you do shop, you know, make sure that you have some neutrals, some solids. As you can see, that yellow is a solid, mm-hmm. and you can put any color with it that you like. I mean, I chose the dark denim, and the red splash accent.
Nice.
The purse, I forgot to tell you about the purse. My grandmother actually had that purse in her closet, unused, never worn. And it pretty much was new to me. So
yeah,
again,
and you utilized what you had.
$0.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, that same day, nothing spent on the look. I was able to, you know, have some money, you know, left over for the actual event. And that's what happened. So,
you know, and it's just so amazing because you mentioned Walmart, and I don't think like that. You know what I mean? And I would have never thought that by looking at the picture. You know what I mean? And I like to mix it up. I like to wear my high-end things and, you know, and mix it with, you know.
Yeah, and I literally was going through that accessories department. I usually don't even be bothered because I don't want my earrings.
I love those, and I have some earrings just like that. Those are awesome.
And so, you know, it's like, you know, I was actually walking through the department, and I saw the necklace, and I thought, that's really nice, and that's different, and I have noticed that they've stepped their game up, you mm-hmm. know, so don't be ashamed, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You like what you like, and mm-hmm. the fact that it's from Walmart means nothing to me.
It's about how you style it, and that's just a part of it. You have to know how to put it together,
absolutely.
And we're not saying it just go get things that are $10 off the rack and put them on, because that's not going to work.
<That's> not.
You know, you still have to have a sense of style and how to layer things and put things together and what, like you said, what colors are going to make it pop, you know, and, you know, it makes a difference, you know?
And if you don't want the technical aspect of it, you know, just think about it like, okay, who am I buying this for? Do mm-hmm. I like how I look in it, or is it because, you know, my crush is going to see me and think I look cute, or I can do it for the gram? You know, what are your reasons? And be honest with yourself about it. If those are your reasons, fine, buy it. But, you know, the key is to get things that, you know, you're going to go back to. You don't want it to collect dust in the closet, and now you've spent the money and you're not utilizing it and getting your worth. And so what was the point of the budget? You know, you want it all to, like, make sense and, you know, don't worry so much about what society thinks, you know, about what you're supposed to wear and how you're supposed to do it. Because I went through a couple phases of, you know, not really caring. I did the basketball shorts with the wife beaters and the tank tops. I've done, you know, all kind of different looks.
Don't you do that again.
Not at my age now, but back then, you know, I didn't care about, you know, boots and stuff like that, you know. And in our earlier segment, you know, we talked about being grown and learning how to be, you know, more womanly and all of that, that had to be learned. And, you know, it's okay to, you know, be aware that, you know, maybe you do need to get some more influences and, you know, see what else is out there that might actually work for you personally. Mm-hmm. So definitely. And I wouldn't say I have a style per se. I just go with what I like, you know. So today,
you really do. You know, you do. Yeah. You have your own style. And it's really cute. You know what you're doing. You showed up at the model casting and you were layered and you had your cute little boots on with the socks sticking out. And I love the look. You know what I mean? So you definitely have to have a sense of fashion.
You do.
You know, so many times I walk into, you know, my clients' closets and, you know, either they have a bunch of clothes with the tag still on it because they bought it on sale, or, you know, oh, I'm going to get back down to a size 0, but right now I'm a size 12. And I'm a firm believer in buy for the size that you are now.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's okay to buy things that are on sale, but if you don't know how to put those things together and, you know, and mix and match, then it's
pointless.
You know,
the other thing, which is kind of unfortunate, is that, you know, each shop has different sizing, you know, charts and stuff like that. It makes it really hard, especially when you shop online and you can't really touch the material and all that.
I can't do it. Yeah.
So, I mean, it does take a little bit of you diving in and exploring a little bit. You know, you can't just, you know, sit in the corner and expect, you know, the gods to just drop all
beautiful clothes and you're
for
fabulous.
You know, you're gonna have to get into it too. So definitely. But you know, when it comes to clothes and things like that, you know, it is an extension of your character and personality. So, you know, I mean, for example, I came in tonight with a hoodie on.
It was cute. It was
and
cute.
It was cute, you know, but it wasn't, I didn't feel it was appropriate for, you know, what we're doing right here. I threw on the blazer, I threw this on, and styled by Tracy Thomas.
And walked to the bathroom and got all kind of compliments.
I did.
And,
I got compliments on the way to the restroom, you know, and it was awesome. So, I mean, and I feel better. I mean, you know, it was a long day, and I just feel better, you know, with this blazer on. I don't know if it's the color or if it's because I feel more professional. I don't know. But
man, you look beautiful.
Definitely, you know, get clothes that make you feel good. You know, makes you look good, feel good. It empowers you when you can walk into a room and you know, attract attention in a good way.
Own it.
You definitely
want
to own it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely.
If any style tips, if anyone has any style tips, we, you know, please reach out, email,
definitely.
You know. Things
just
like
tell
that.
Tell me this one or that one, and I'll give you.
Yeah, and I do that all the time. Yeah. It's so amazing because you get a text. I'm like, okay, nope. Yeah. You know, so people they will they'll text you, you know, and things like that. So I just think it's important to know, you know, how to shop on a budget if you have to shop on a budget. Mm-hmm. You know, some people are single mom, whatever it is. You know what I mean? The economy is just not what it used to be.
It really isn't, and sometimes you do have to walk away from things. You know, sometimes you see something, and or maybe for me, actually, here's another thing I do. When I go in, I usually have something in mind that I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. So if I know that, okay, tomorrow is the party, I want to be comfortable, I'm probably going to go for a jumpsuit or maybe a dress that's a little bit longer that I'm not, like, pushing it down.
Yeah.
You know, I want to have a good time. I'm going to go directly to the area where I'm going to find dresses. But sometimes I will roam the store first, see what's there, and then kind of weigh and, you know, say, okay, well, this one isn't my budget, but, you know, I can utilize at least three looks from it.
versus this is on sale and I'm probably only going to wear it once, you know. So you just have to be mindful of, you know, what you're actually buying and, you know, how are you going to utilize it and get your money's worth. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, definitely, it's definitely possible to spend, you know, less than $50, even $20. You know, there's a lot of different apps that you
can use. An entire outfit?
On an entire outfit.
See, now that's hard for me.
Yes.
I don't know about that.
So, I mean, but again, there's a lot of different resources available online. Lots of YouTube channels and stories. Just get some insight from other people, and if like she said, just reach out if you have any questions or, you know, want some input from me.
Yeah, well, thank you. I think that's awesome. You know, people need to hear it, you know, because it's there, and we want to know.
Yeah,
I want to know. I learned something too. but thank you everyone for joining us. It's been a great night. Please download the app centralcityradio.com. So we will see you next Thursday, 8 p.m.
This is CentralCityRadio.com. Today's hit music.